the crux of it is, if you want to do something with your life, don't wait. If you want to do it, start now. Now is what we have. Now is where opportunities are ripe. So start today.
Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Marilyn Cornelius is a behavior change specialist, coach, facilitator, speaker, author, and teacher. She is the founder of Alchemist Prime, a multinational leadership and wellness company. She integrates behavioral sciences, design thinking, biomimicry, and meditation to support empowerment, change management, trauma healing, leadership development, and climate change resilience for diverse leaders. Marilyn is the author of 48 popular books on topics such as self-love, positivity, trauma, leadership, healthy eating, and meditation. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. It's morning by you, correct?
Yes. Hi, Tess. It's 8:53 a.m. here in Fiji.
Oh, my goodness. What was it like growing up in Fiji? Yeah, I would love to go there one day, but I've never known anyone who lived there. So,
yes, I was born here in Fiji. I'm Fijian American. It's a long story, which I'll tell you a little bit about. But okay. I was born here in this beautiful tropical paradise. It's a small set of islands, well, 300 and something islands, but a small country. And I enjoyed life here. It's been, growing up here, you know, going to school in the hot sun, playing sports outside, lots of different kinds of food and making friends. It was very multi-ethnic. And I left when I was 19, though, to pursue tertiary education in the U.S. So I ended up in California.
I read that you left Fiji at the age of 19 to study design, and it sparked the environmentalist in you, specifically regarding behavior change, that you decided to become an entrepreneur. Can you walk me through how that happened?
Yes, Tess. It's very, I talk about my history because it's very, it's like a meandering river. So I went abroad to study art, actually graphic design. And while I was assembling my final portfolio at the end of my two-year degree, I saw that a lot of my work, actually all of my work, was about the environment. And I had this big epiphany that I really am a tree hugger. I'm an environmentalist at heart. And so I became specifically very passionate about my own behavior change to reduce pollution, to promote environmental conservation, and to reduce climate change. And so I did a bachelor's after that on environmental resource management. It was part of a business degree with a focus on environment. And then I went for my PhD in climate change and behavior change. And I became an entrepreneur during grad school. I started a Reiki company with some other Reiki masters. And then I started a consulting company after that, and then I started a third company. So it's, you know, and then during COVID, I decided to stay in Fiji to be with my parents, and that's when I started the. So I had finished up with the Reiki company. The women had disbanded by then, and I had closed up the second company as well. And then I had opened a third company called Alchemist Prime, and then I started a sister company in Fiji, and that's where I've been since 2020. I'm based here now in Fiji.
Okay, so yes, like you mentioned, you are the founder of Alchemist Prime. What is Alchemist Prime, and what was the catalyst behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I call the company Alchemist Prime. It's sort of a name that encapsulates the alchemy of the person and the people, the leaders, as in we're all here on the planet to be in a collaborative leadership sort of system together and reaching our prime. So how do we go from the base level to the gold level of who we actually are? So that's what the company stands for. And then it's inspired by Optimus Prime, the fearless Autobot Transformers cartoon, and also The Alchemist, the book by Paulo Coelho, which really changed my life when I read that book. And so I think of my company as an integration engine. So it really is about alchemizing people, including myself, to be our best. And I offer a range of services. So trauma-informed coaching, life coaching and leadership coaching, also feminist co-leadership coaching. I facilitate retreats and workshops. I do consulting across human resource management, gender, and climate change. And then I also write books and I teach courses based on some of those books. And I'm also a speaker.
Okay.
And so my goal really is to use behavior change to really empower others to meet their goals, overcome their barriers. And I integrate my behavioral science background with design thinking, the science of emulating nature, which is biomimicry, and then also contemplative and meditative techniques.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So how did you know it was time for you to create this company? And what has been challenging for you as an entrepreneur?
I knew I had to start a new company because things felt incomplete with my second company. We were offering consulting services. I was in a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual side of my life was missing from the company. And I felt that I didn't just want to offer services based on academic training or professional experience. I wanted to offer Reiki. Mm-hmm. I wanted to offer chakra healing and other spiritual work and energy-based work that I was able to do, because I felt it was really critical to offer those modalities to not only balance out myself as a, you know, reflecting my whole self in my company, mm-hmm. but also providing the modalities that would help people to transform. So,
okay.
So that was really one of the factors leading me to this. But it was a very divine catalyst that led to the way the company formed.
Hmm.
I was in Navajo Nation in Arizona. I was working on a project with my previous company,
mm-hmm.
and with the partnership, and it was late at night, and we were working with Native teachers. And one of the teachers, you know, invited us to this Yebiche ceremony. It was a healing ceremony in the Navajo, you know, deep into the desert. And mm-hmm. it was midnight. It was a full moon. We were in this pickup truck, and we were driving to this ceremony. And I remember just having this feeling like something deep was about to happen. So when we arrived, I noticed that the women were chanting outside, and there was a woman seated in a chair, and she was the one that they were working on healing.
Mm.
And there was the clown was there, you know, and he had his tail and his full costume, and he was taunting everyone. And that's part of the tradition of how these ceremonies go.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was very cold and it was very brisk. And I went into the tent where the men were chanting.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and I closed my eyes, and immediately I was transported into another place, and it felt like a blue galaxy. It was made of blue crystals, and it was a vision I had, but it felt really real.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately came back, and when I came back to, you know, my body and opened my eyes, everything started downloading into my brain, you know, the frameworks, the guidelines, the company itself, the Alchemist Prime, and what it was going to be. So all I had with me, you know, at midnight was my phone. So I started writing all this down in my phone. And since that day, I've started channeling, you know, all of my books, everything comes to me in this way. It's like a flash of insight happens.
Huh.
And then I start writing, or I start building something.
Uh-huh.
So I believe that my company is something that is a divinely ordained vehicle to elevate human consciousness, to help connect our own healing with planetary healing, and to realize that they're the same thing.
Hmm.
And my job is to bring that guidance out into the world.
Huh. Wow. I mean, that sounds like an incredible experience for you. One of the factors that you mentioned from your company, it incorporates a science-based model when it comes to coaching. Like you said, behavior change, creativity, mindful stress reduction, mm-hmm. and dietary improvement and learning from nature. When you put them all together, can you do one without the other, or are they all, do they all interact with each other? Are they have to be working together in order to get to your goal for when you consult someone?
That is such a beautiful question. Thank you, Tess. So the model is called the Alchemist Prime Diamond Model, and it mm-hmm. includes the, you know, diamond being the most the strongest physical substance on the planet. So the idea is that the diamond model is strong because it has the integration of different ways of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the model works is it's really flexible, and I tailor it. So if you come to me for coaching, I'll do a screening call with you. I'll try to understand your goals and you understand my approach. And then it's flexible and it's integrated. So whatever you need, I will tailor for you based on. So let's say you really need trauma healing. So I'll use more of the meditative work, the energy healing work first. But then I'll introduce some behavior change goals, you know, maybe some affirmations, some different tools to help you based on what I assess about what you need in the moment. And then we work together over time to get you to meet your goals in the ways you want to, using the right tools at the right time. So there's emotional, psychological, cognitive, behavioral, and energy tools.
Okay. So is that considered conscious consulting or is that different?
I don't know if I would call it that, but it does sound very aligned to what I'm doing. It's definitely about raising consciousness, and it's not just, I'm not out there just to make a profit. I'm out there to make leaders, to help people overcome whatever their obstacles are from their past and, and trauma, for example, or, you know, a lot of people suffer from low self-esteem or imposter syndrome, or they have a toxic boss, or they have abusive parents, or they've had something.
Right.
And they're usually really high achievers, but they feel like they are held back in some way. They find themselves in a loop or in a pattern. Right. And those are the types of people who come to me who are really ready to make a change because they see the pattern. That's holding them back. And so I'm sort of a sounding board for them to provide the tools and to provide encouragement and to provide, you know, companionship. So I walk with you through your trauma, basically, to the inside. And because I've done it for myself, I know it's possible. And I think I've worked with about 135 clients or so in the last 10 years.
Wow.
So I know that my system, my methodology works well, but it also works for the person who's ready and willing and committed to doing the work, because it's not easy. It's difficult work.
I mean, for someone, I think at least from what I understand it would be really exposing yourself, right? Exposing what your fears are, your challenges are, and then work from within. So, and I think it's pretty powerful when you phrase it that way, because it really makes the person think, well, okay, what has been holding me back for so long that I can't seem to get out of this other environment when I need to get out so I can be healed, or at least know that, okay, I'm ready to go to the next step, right?
Absolutely. And two things, you know, one is that you heal yourself, right? I'm not healing you, but I'm creating conditions to help empower you so you can heal yourself.
Right.
And it's a self-directed journey, and it is vulnerable because you are exposing yourself and laying bare all of your, you know, all the difficulties. The other thing, the second thing I want to stress is that how people know that that it's time to do this kind of work is that you'll meet different people, but it's the same kind of relationship. So you might have different boyfriends or girlfriends or partners, but they all treat you the same way. Maybe they're all manipulators. You might have many different supervisors, but they all treat you the same way. Maybe they undermine you. And so maybe you go into many different amazing organizations and you keep getting promoted, but you still feel like you're an imposter. So something repeats in your life and you start to realize it. And that's usually when people come to me.
That's interesting, because as you're talking, I'm actually going back to when I started working. And gosh, I've been working since I was 16, 17, you know, like through that, like getting into real corporate jobs. And then, and there was this one boss who really like took it upon himself to be really demeaning towards me. It really affected me. Over the years, it took
me so.
Yes, so much that I actually, like, from then on, I started thinking, well, maybe I'm not meant to, you know, I'm not meant to really excel. Maybe I'm not meant to, like, get past this, you know, until I realized, no. It's like he was just a person who had his own opinions. And he was just, I think, an unhappy person who decided, you know, let me target someone who was, who mm-hmm. he thought was small, who he thought was, you know, like easy to manipulate. And it took me years. It took me years to finally realize, mm-hmm. oh, it's not me. It's not me.
I'm so
it's
glad
really.
That you,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm
but
glad
it took
you
a while.
Came to that realization. Yeah. It can be so damaging, right?
Yes.
It's so damaging.
Yes. It took a while. It really took my mm-hmm. husband. You know, my then boyfriend, my husband, who actually told me because I was unhappy, like on almost mm-hmm. every job. And he says, babe, get out. You know, say, do what you really mm-hmm. love to do and we'll figure it out. And I still remember mm-hmm. that. And had I not, I would probably still be in such a miserable place, workplace, mm-hmm. and I would not have grown the way I have over the years, you know, mm-hmm. and really found, you know, what I love doing, which was writing and then now podcasting, you know. But I think it's such a gift when you can help someone realize that, you know what, yeah, there are all these factors and, you know, I don't think you could grow unless you actually lay out those factors and then figure out, okay, why do you feel that way and how can I help you get over that, right? So... Mm-hmm. I love that. So what has been challenging for you as an mm-hmm. entrepreneur and what has been rewarding?
The challenge, I think, for me has been always looking to someone else mm-hmm. for guidance or authority. Mm-hmm. And I think this was one of my patterns, not believing that I could become my own authority.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a hubristic or arrogant way, but just to rely on what I was bringing right. and rely on what I was channeling. So I think that was the biggest challenge for me. I looked to mentors and was often upset with their ethics because it didn't really match what I felt was right.
Mm-hmm.
So partners or, you know, business partners, mentors, people that I gave a lot of deference to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was challenging. And I eventually have written this in one of my books that you need to become your own authority as an entrepreneur. You need to trust yourself, you need to believe in what you have to offer,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be self-reliant so that you're not giving away your power to others and then taking direction from others when they don't actually know what you know
mm.
and they don't have the same values as you have.
Right.
So that's how you can lead yourself astray. So that's been a big challenge for me, but I've overcome it over the years. And I think it entailed a lot of boundary setting
mm-hmm.
and facing of fear. You know, maybe I was afraid that as a woman of color from a tiny country, maybe I didn't have the kind of gravitas that I thought I had or mm-hmm. that I thought I needed to have, you mm-hmm. know. And then what's been really rewarding, I think, across the board, and I would do this if I was a billionaire and I would do it if I had nothing and if someone just supported me to do it, is I would still coach and facilitate because watching the light go on in people's hearts and minds and watching them shift, watching them become more efficacious, watching them empower themselves
mm-hmm.
is really the most beautiful and most rewarding thing. And sometimes people write to me and they tell me how they've changed their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And one client made me a calendar with all my books on it. And she and her husband made the calendar for me. And it was, I think
wow.
it's been one of the best gifts I've ever received.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she thanked me for how the books and the courses and the coaching has changed her. And another one wrote to me and said that he moved to another country and he's fulfilling his dreams and, you know, he's given his family a better life. And this man, I didn't even coach. He attended a talk that I gave.
Ah.
And so I was really blown away by that, Tess. I thought, wow. Oh, my goodness, I was invited to give a talk for International Women's Day.
Huh.
A few years ago, and then he's following my video show, Mornings with Marilyn, ever since. And he's changed his life just from
wow.
these little 1 minute videos, 30 minute videos, you know, 30 second videos. And I was blown away. I think it was really a surreal moment for me. He wrote to me this year and he told me all the changes in his life. And he just said, keep going, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So I think that is the biggest reward, that people
yeah.
can change their lives.
That's so wild. And I love that story because you never know how you can affect someone, you know, whether it's by
yeah.
word or deed, right? And I think it's so fitting, especially because you're not forcing people to do what you want. You're guiding them to find that place where they know they are empowered. but they don't know yet. They don't know it yet, right? Or they probably do, but they don't trust themselves, like you said, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that's really powerful because you realize that, huh, you know, for me at least, had I not had, you know, someone tell me, it's okay, you can go, you can do this, you know, mm-hmm. and you can leave a toxic environment because you're not meant to be there anyway, right? Had I not trusted that, you know, initially I didn't believe it. I was like, you know, had I not trusted that, I wouldn't be where I am. And I'm sure, or at least I'm thinking that your clients feel the same way, right?
Yes. And I think, you know, to have one person's insecurity sabotage your whole career is absolutely unnecessary and wrong. And so I'm glad you left. And most of my clients leave their jobs too because they're being abused at work. Most of them are able to have the confidence to negotiate better salaries, take better higher level positions. Mm-hmm. Some of them have started their own businesses. One of them's completely changed her career.
Wow.
A complete shift. And now she's actually doing what she's always dreamt about.
That's great.
It is amazing. And I think that it is that piece around trust, you know, like knowing that someone's got your back, knowing that someone believes in you mm-hmm. and is showing you how to believe in yourself and to love yourself. A big piece of my work is self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn that the hard way. No one taught me that. And so once I learned it, I wrote a book about it. I teach a course on it.
Mm-hmm.
And people who go through the course tend to change how they orient. You know, usually you're not in your own frame of reference. You're usually so fixated on others, either working for them, pleasing them, taking care of them. And I come from that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so really reorienting and coming back to yourself as a place where you start. Mm-hmm. How am I doing? What is the quality of what I can offer based on my self-care and my self-love? So that is a big shift as well.
Hmm.
I call it, changing your core engine.
Ah, I love that. Changing your core engine. So was this part of your learning over the years, or did you see these qualities in your parents as well?
Which qualities?
The way you are with others as now being an entrepreneur and helping people.
Yes.
So is that something that you learned growing up, or is that something that you kind of just found out or you discovered for yourself?
I think the answer is both. A lot of my values, my principles, and standing up for what I believe in,
mm-hmm.
I learned from my mother, Dr. Margaret Cornelius. She's a retired medical doctor, and she taught me how to be principled, how to always do the right thing, how to care. And she's very nurturing. And she's very loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being sick, and she would just hold me and nurse me and take care of me. And she's so hardworking and loving and very humble.
Mm.
And then, you know, learning to fight for the environment, I learned from my late advisor, Dr. Steve Schneider, who was a climatologist. And he was a MacArthur genius, but the best thing about him, aside from his intellect, you know, the thing that stood out was his kindness. So kind, so down to earth. And so learning from them, you know, helped orient me into the type of person I want to be and the type of leader I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the work that I do and the way I do it, I came up with it myself because I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So self-love was not present in my family. It was not present anywhere. It wasn't present in school. It wasn't present at work. There was no self-love around me. And I realized, I had this awakening when I wrote the book about self-love that you don't know it because no one teaches you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so without it, it's very difficult to go into your trauma and to heal because you'll just get re-traumatized.
Mm.
But self-love provides the foundation for you to be aware that you are worthy and that you deserve respect. Wow. And then if using that foundation, you go into your trauma, then you know that you're going into it to heal and to understand and to release and to let go and to carry your lessons forward. So some of the work that I do and the way that I do it does come from my mentors and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it comes from the channeling. It comes directly from the source.
Okay. So would you credit your mom and your mentor as why you are where you are now?
Definitely. Mom has been there for me through everything because I grew up in an abusive household.
Mm.
I grew up, I was a victim of child abuse multiple times at the age of 2. Wow. Trigger warning if you're listening out there. But I was able to overcome a lot of it because she was there mm-hmm. for me. Once I started to realize around 10 years ago, around the same time I started this company, a lot of my awakenings happened around my own trauma. Mm-hmm. And she's just been there for me the whole time. And she's an advisor. She's a wellness advisor to the company. She and I write together. Mm-hmm. We've written books together. She's written her autobiography, and I've coached her to do that. She's also a Reiki master. She and I, she's my editor. She edits all my books. I wrote a book yesterday on triggers and she's proofing it right now.
Wow.
So yes, I mean, she is my rock. Mm. And then Steve died suddenly during my PhD process, which was very difficult for me. Uh-huh. He was like an umbrella for me in academia. He understood me really well. He knew that I was a change agent. And then once he was gone, I had a hard time in academia because I didn't want to jump through hoops and I didn't really like the hierarchy and what it did to women. So I left academia. I think if he was alive, I might have stayed and done a lot of my work through academia. But after that, I was happy, like you, to leave a system that I found toxic, and I created my own system. So I do all the same things. I teach, I write, I mentor, I coach, but I just do it in my own system because I didn't like the systems I saw and I decided to create my own, which is coming back to being your own authority.
I love that. So what's next for Marilyn?
Well, you know, I was saying to you, Tess, that I live in this mode of surrender and guidance, so I channel. So I didn't know that this book on triggers was coming. I had a feeling it was coming, but then it was ready. So yesterday I wrote it. And so I don't plan too much. I try to live day to day, moment to moment, and I try to keep my vessel clean. You know, I do a lot of meditation. I try to stay receptive because a lot of the factors of insight and all the inspirations and things, they come, you know, in moments. So I don't plan too much. I have some plans for the work I'm doing next year. I have some professional goals to reach, but a lot of the time it's about being supple. It's about being in that and flowing energy where the guidance comes and then I go with it.
Okay. Wow. So if anyone wanted to know more about you and Alchemist Prime, how would they go about it?
I am on social media. I do have also a website. So it's alchemistprime.com. There's a bio for me, a bio for mom, and then extensive pages filled with our books and our services. So that's one way. And then on social media, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. You can look up Mornings with Marilyn on Facebook and on TikTok, and then on Instagram as well.
Okay.
And then if you want to read our blogs, it's integritasprime.com, which would be my name. Integritas Prime would be my name if I was an Autobot. And then my blogs, our writing is also on Medium, so you can find us there.
Oh, cool. Is there anything you would like to say to my listeners?
Yes, I would like to say that a lot of us live in the past or fret about the future. I would say this is your life and it's happening right now. So the crux of it is, if you want to do something with your life, don't wait. If you want to do it, start now. Now is what we have. Now is where opportunities are ripe. So start today.
I love that. If you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
Yes, I almost drowned when I was 10 years old, Tess, it was very traumatizing for me. So I created a set of limiting beliefs around that, like, oh, maybe you know, drowned in a past life, or you're just not coordinated in the water, and blah, blah, blah. Many, many years later, I have some knee injuries from playing netball. So I was told I have to swim as my primary exercise. And so it took me about a month, but I faced the pool. I got into the pool, and 6 months later, I'm swimming laps. I swam my first kilometer in October. And I wish I had started sooner because I love it. It's the perfect exercise. There's no impact. You know, there's resistance training, there's cardio, it's cooling, it's perfect. So I wish I'd done it sooner, but I'm so excited to do it now. And I just want to say, facing a fear is life-changing. Let's feel the fear and do it anyway. Let's face those fears.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's funny because I'm going to tell you that I've never swam in my life. Like you, I was thrown in the pool a long time when I was a child. And I definitely had That was a traumatic experience for me, and I never wanted to learn. But of course, it's the rope when the universe tells you, you know, because I wound up falling. It's like I had an accident and I fell on both my knees, and, you know, it affected my back. And because I have scoliosis on top of that. Uh-huh. So I had seen a doctor and they said, you know, you really should like get some low impact or at least start with physical therapy, which I did. And I definitely did that for a while. And both my husband and my daughter is like, you really need to go and learn how to swim. And I'm like, nope, not for me, you know. And I guess, I mean, I'll probably get there. But, you know, hearing you talk about it, it's like, oh, okay. And I was like, all right, the universe is trying to tell me something. It's like, oh my gosh. But okay, I will let you know if I decide to do that.
You're not the first one to say this because I've been so afraid and because I've had such a prolific experience starting to swim. Like I swim 5 days a week now. Wow. And after talking to you, I have a meeting and then I'm going to swim. Like I'm addicted to the pool. I've been writing blogs about it. And, you know, the blogs might be of interest to you because I really just lay it out all out. I'm really bare about, you know, my fears and mm-hmm. how things have been for me. And mm-hmm. I also share some tips about what actually got me to feel more safe in the water. I use a front snorkel, for example, and it allows me to breathe because breathing is the thing that, you know, when you're drowning, you have water in your lungs and it's extremely, it's terrifying, as you know. So, yeah, I mean, it is a major life change for me this year.
Wow. That's wonderful. I'm so glad that you were able to conquer that fear. That's awesome. My last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would say you may not know yourself fully right now. Because I remember I didn't know myself very well when I was in my 20s, for example. So I would say you may not know yourself fully right now. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful of any big decisions or absolutes. But also don't worry because you will learn and you will grow and you will heal and life will get better. So just trust the journey. Trust mm-hmm. that every process, every step in the journey is taking you somewhere. Because when I look back now, I know that all the meandering in my career has brought me to a place where I can do my own design. I can do so many things and I'm not restricted to doing one thing. I do many things and I'm unapologetic about it. Hmm. So I would say trust that journey. And if life is hard, just be with it and know that you're growing and things will get better.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I have to say that the last sentence, which is, you know, whatever you're going through right now may not be where you want to be, but like you said, grow from that, it could be in a bad place or it could be out of fear or pain, but you grow out of it. And you definitely get better from that because you grow from that experience. Mm-hmm. I definitely can relate to that. And it's really, you know, amazing when you start realizing, like you said, you know, it's like, you know, back in my 20s, I would never have thought where I would be now, you know? And it's true. Back in my 20s, I didn't know where I would be. And I just kept thinking, okay, this is going to be my life. Wherever I was going to be, it was going to be the same old thing, you know. And, you know, you really have to be open to whatever is guiding you or whoever is guiding you so you can have the opportunity and open yourself up to really things, but experiences that you never thought would ever happen to you. Right. So that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so funny. When I think of, a few years ago, I had a big birthday and mm-hmm. my husband and I, you know, he decided, okay, we'll go somewhere. And we wound up in Hawaii. And, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is, but I do love, you know, being up in the air, you know. So we decided to go for a helicopter ride. I said, okay, this is perfect. You know, I said, I love helicopter rides.
The volcano?
Yes, to see the volcanoes. It was really wild. We didn't realize that you could actually request with doors or without doors. And I'm like, wow. Okay, so I said, no, I think we'll just go for with doors, you know, just to be safe. Mm-hmm. So my husband said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. So we get there, and the one we found, the one who apparently was going to have us be on this helicopter, had no doors. I'm like, okay. So we were like, what was he going to do? Not do it? So I was like, all right, you know, so we did. And it was so cool because the pilot was a woman. And I'm like, okay, the universe is trying to tell me we're doing this. Okay. So my husband and I went, and we actually FaceTimed with my daughter while we were up in the air. And she was just like, oh my gosh, mom. I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? This is so cool. And she says, who are you and what have you done to my mother? And I was like, oh my gosh. She was like, she was floored that I was A, in that helicopter without any doors, and B, that I was having a great time, like the best time of my life. And she says, what have you done? I was like, well, you know what? It's like, why not? You know, it's like, you live once, right? And she was like, okay. and she was telling my husband, you better make sure she's alive tonight when you go back down. I was like, oh my gosh. But I still remember that because I'm like, a split second, I was like, oh, okay, do I want to do this or not? You know? And then my husband's like, what do you think? And I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, but I was like, really, I had that fear. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What am I doing here? But no, but I had the best time. It was the coolest thing, you know. And like you said, sometimes you just have to trust that it's going to be fine. You know, it's like, I mean, that was a fun experience. And of course, there are experiences that are not fun, that are definitely sad. But you know, I do think that if you would just go through it, you know, it gets better on the other side. So Marilyn, thank you so much for spending your time with me and for talking to me about your life and your work with Alchemist Prime. And, you know, I was really curious because I didn't know exactly what your business entailed. I mean, I knew it was coaching, but I was like, huh, this is something that I've never seen before, like, or at least a different kind of modality. Thank you for creating it and for the people that you are helping and you've already helped. So, you know, I really love that you're really making it so people, you know, who need your help and guidance are there so you can help them out and you can let them know that it's okay. You know, you got this and there is a better life out there, you know.
Absolutely.
If you just believe it. So, but
yeah. I think what qualifies me best to help them is that I am a survivor as well. And I can do it. Anyone can, because life was pretty much stacked against me for a long time because I was two when a lot of terrible things happened to me. But if I can overcome without the tools that I now offer, then I think anything is possible. And I think every experience makes us, more aware of what we can be and we can do. So thanks so much for having me, Tess.
Oh my gosh, you are so welcome. And thank you again for spending the time with me. I know you're busy this morning, but I would love to catch up again another time. And
absolutely.
And sure. Good luck with your book. And
thank you so much.
Please keep in touch. And I will look forward to catching up with you soon. All right. Have a great day.
Okay. You too, Tess. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Marilyn Cornelius on RevWoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.